I can see you being one of those people that it needs to be flipping over too, the toilet paper. It can't be under. I'm with you too. That is one thing that I'm like, don't you dare flip that roll over.
It's, if they want to put it under, I've got trust issues with that person. Just saying.
Phil, you're a hard worker, buddy. You're going in tomorrow morning. You got that early riser family, 8 a.m. You're staying late, 4:30. You're just the dream boss of a funeral manager. How do you do it, Phil? What's the deal?
Well, I'm an early riser anyway, and
Two.
the other directors here, one has an infant, and so just, share the wealth and let us all give quality of life for everybody, and so why not? Just go for it.
Absolutely. And someone's got to step up to the plate when you got someone dealing with a newborn and
Right?
various hours when you're busy and things like that. It's never an easy thing to do, but it's great that when you have someone in your corner that is on the higher level, the management side, that likes to step up to the plate, that's the dream for a funeral director, I would say.
Hey, and I gotta say, I mean, the directors that I work with, they got my back too. So it's not like, I'm always, they cover my ass, ADT, which stands for all at a time. They've got my back every single day.
That's the ideal atmosphere that you want to cultivate at the funeral home, is that people are going to go above and beyond for each other. So whether it's making arrangements and you're going to be off the weekend or out of town, and you get everything done and everything situated for the next person stepping in, or if
Right.
it's in the prep room, getting all of your bodies ready and prepped and laid out and all that stuff in advance, that's the kind of atmosphere that I think a lot of funeral homes strive to go for, in my opinion, is the best way,
For
because then
sure.
you're all working for that whole, everyone's working together for the same thing, and no one's trying to get by with the bare minimum. If you're doing it for others, they're going to do it back for you, and that leads to everyone being on top of their best game.
Agreed, 100%, no doubt. No
Great.
doubt.
So tell me a little bit about your career. I know that you're on the management side for Park Lawn in the Kansas City area. Have had a nice long career over 20 years in funeral service. Give us the rundown. How'd you get to where you are now?
So grew up in St. Louis and went to Mizzou and go Tigers. Got a degree in radio TV communication, and then sort of by accident, I crammed a 4-year degree into 5 years and got a bachelor's degree in theater as well. And
That's a little different for us.
a little bit, right? I mean, whatever. Well, actually, when I was a kid, 7, 8 years old, something like that, apparently, after I got in funeral service, my mom reminded me that I said, I could be one of those funeral directors. Because you get to dress nice, you get to drive nice cars, and you get to help people,
Hey.
which is all true, right? And little did I know I was going to be cleaning toilets in a tie and washing cars in a tie, but it's just what you do, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So anyway, so go to Mizzou. I get my degree. I work at radio and TV stations, and end
Nice.
up getting a job making video biographies for a family back in St. Louis, or for a company in St. Louis.
Okay.
And they owned cemeteries and funeral homes, so that's how they would get their client families to do these video biographies. So,
Yeah.
how did you meet your spouse? What was it like growing up? Tell me about these pictures. And we had them on touchscreen kiosks at the funeral homes and cemeteries, help
Yeah,
you find your grave and things like that. So this is way before YouTube existed, Google didn't even exist yet, all that stuff. And they took the production facilities. So my job was to figure out the production process, document it, and make it duplicatable. We
right.
did that, and then they took the production facility. They took my manual, went, took it to California, and hired a whole new staff. And I was not part of that move.
Oh,
So
ew.
I was going to be out of a job, but they offered me a job to do some training and development with funeral directors and administrators. And
Nice.
one of the trainings I was giving at with the funeral directors, somebody made the comment, what do you know? You're not even a funeral director. And so shortly after then, after my
That
after my training time, then I went and talked to my boss, and she's like, yeah, and, you know, they said they, I, what do I know? I'm not even a funeral director. So how do I get to be one of these funeral directors so they can just shut up? Was really my original motivation.
Yeah.
And so we changed my job around, ended up at a cemetery, learning cemetery and running some operations there, and
Nice.
became a licensed funeral director and just found it to be a really good fit. I ask all the same questions when I'm getting to know a family,
Yeah.
things like that. It was just really great. And then moved on to another funeral home company in the St. Louis area, and then joined a corporate business in Ohio for 4 years, and then moved to Kansas City for an opportunity. So been here since 2014.
Yeah, bounced around in the Midwest, or Midwest boy, just like me. I love to hear it.
Yes, for sure.
Did you ever get to actually apply any of your previous studies from college into the funeral service? Because I mean, nowadays we're very tech forward, tech facing, a lot of funeral homes, and you were early on that. So were you able to do anything that was a little bit different and interesting early on in your career that applied to that?
You know, we were making video biographies or the
Right.
tribute videos like before they were cool.
Yeah.
So that was pretty cool to be on the kind of the cutting. I mean, it took forever to make. I mean, the way you had to scan the pictures and, you know, the slow
One by
scanner,
one, I'm
taking
sure.
pictures of pictures and, you know, things like that,
Oh.
making sure you didn't have a glare.
Yeah.
So I did get to apply all of those things and just thought there's got to be an easier way. Somebody smarter than
Yeah.
me's got to figure this out. And they did, thankfully, because now you can whip out a video a relatively short period of time.
Yeah, it's an important thing too, and families love it, and it's that special extra touch that we provide, and a lot of funeral homes do it now. I remember doing that at the start of my career too, and we had one of the old school big scanners where you'd flip the whole thing up, and we'd go one by one by one, and no one had digital, like any of their photos on digital copies, so they would give 500 of them. It would legitimately take you almost a full day just to scan the freaking things. It was miserable. And now you could churn these out. They got machines where you sit through, or you could go to Walgreens or CVS, and they'll scan them all, put them on a flash drive for you. It's just amazing, the technological
Then
advancement
you
that we've
send the
had.
family a link now. They upload all their own photos, they crop them, they do all the hard work for you. You just got to finalize it and
We're
done.
out. And they still love you for it.
And it's been great. I mean, as far as the, you know, some of the other things that I was able to apply, you know, all those questions and things that I asked, I've
Right.
taught the funeral directors that I've had the privilege of growing. I've had to I teach them. That's how you do your warm up, is you ask all these questions to really get to know them, so you can make those thoughtful recommendations and really put something into play for them that's gonna, I call it picking up the nuggets and then putting them back into play, so
Yeah.
that you can create a service that's really going to be meaningful to them.
Yeah.
And I've become a celebrant over the years through ICCFA University,
Nice.
and that's been outstanding. And when I get to officiate a service for a family and get to kind of do the same thing and just really put together a really great story and give voice to that story.
That's wonderful. For our funeral arrangers out there, what are some of those things that you recommend we ask at the beginning to establish that rapport, and maybe so that we can cater a service to make it more special for them? What are some things that you would typically recommend to your arrangers?
So really it's getting to know, you know, ask about their family. Ask about any vacations that they've taken, ask about work and volunteer stuff. I always like to find out how did they get to town, as well. How did you end up here in Kansas City or wherever it is? I always start off with, well, how'd you meet your spouse? And then I usually will throw in that, well, maybe we don't say in front of the kid, or what'd you do on your first date? Well, maybe we don't say in front of the kids.
Right.
Breaks the ice and gets them now. Not everybody can do that because you have to have the right personality and things
Depends
like
on the
that.
situation too.
But really just getting really curious about who they are and what's important to them. Because those first few things that they throw out there, and when you ask more questions, it'll just kind of flows and evolves as you get to know them better and have those conversations. Because the last thing you want to do is go, hey, Michael, really sorry about your grandma. What's your social security number?
Yeah.
Let's not do that, All right, let's, you know, what was she like? You know, what was your favorite food that your grandma cooked for you? You know, what was your
Excellent.
private vacation like? You know, whatever it might be.
Establish the connection and then uncover some stories from them. It opens them up too, and then you can meet them at a different level than the transactional, like you're saying, if you're just asking
Amen
for
to that.
get info, there's no way that they're going to find as much value in it as if you go through and ask those questions and be curious, like you said. That's super important. And that's part of why I love doing this stuff, because I love asking questions and asking funeral directors everything. But you can open them up and then take what you learn from that and do something special, a little bit above and beyond for them. And it's always those little tiny things, even just asking the questions, to be honest, that's going to separate yourself, and they're going to remember that about you, and just make it less transactional and make it more, have that connection, that heart to heart.
Absolutely. And encouraging them to bring in things that were meaningful to them. You know, whether it's the, you know, grandma was a painter, we'll bring in those pictures and we'll take down our pictures and hang yours up there. Or there's been times where we'll have like cooking utensils and we'll, you know, put a little note on it, you know, cooking up memories of Mary, you know, that kind of thing. Or golf tees, tee one off in memory of, you know, some things like that. Just, and it doesn't always have to be a trinket, right? Because that can also get hokey if you're not careful with it. So it has to really reflect what the family wants and needs. I mean, it could be as easy as having that memory table just set up just so that it really reflects who that person is. Putting the having the flag out with the branch flag at the foot end of the casket.
Oh,
We do
it's
something kind of cool, and I don't really want to give it away, but I will.
I
We call it the Avenue of Flags.
right.
And so out in front of the funeral home, we have going along the sidewalk where you go out to the coach, we have holes in the ground, and we put flags in there so that if a person's a veteran, we put those flags out for the day of the service so that they're standing there, the flags are waving. We do the same thing at our cemetery from the road to the grave. We line it with flags, and then we have the branch flag at the
Wow.
grave. So it just gives it, again, and I love veterans and what they do, and because I appreciate
Absolutely.
my freedoms and liberties, and if I can
It's
do something to make that special, we'll do that. Yeah.
so funny that you said that. I had an individual from Western Illinois, Illinois, you might say,
Yeah, right.
but he legitimately, this is so eerie. I talked to him 2 days ago on the podcast, and he does that same thing. And they line up the funeral home with the flags, and then they do the same thing at the cemetery. He has a difficult time doing it because he's a smaller funeral home, so having the amount of people that it takes to coordinate and do all that is challenging
Challenging
for
him.
him. But it's funny that he said the same thing was, and that's such a beautiful testament to what they did for our country, and the family is probably blown away. We do something a little bit similar, not to that extent, because I think that's really cool. But we'll take whatever branch that they were in, whatever branch of service, and we have different flags for each of them, and we will, it's one of the car flags, so we will put it in the windows of the car. So we'll have the US flag on one side, and then whatever branch of the military they were in on the other side. Families love that stuff. We help a lot of Irish families. My family, super Irish. The funeral home dates back to my great grandfather, who came over from Ireland. So we have deep roots in that. And for whatever little county that someone was in, that they were from in Ireland, because we have a lot of people that come from, we'll have their flag out too. And that's, it's just those little things that we can do. It sets it apart. Or if they're a big fan of a certain college, or if they're a giant Cubs fan, things like that, you just put a flag out. It seems so basic and so easy, and it costs us literally, it's so cheap. It costs us 10 to 20 bucks, but the family goes nuts for it. Why not? Why not do those things and separate yourself and make yourself an asset to the family?
100%. Yeah. Those little things go, well, it shows that you listened to the family and something was important to them. And then, like I said, you're just putting that back into play for them. And it's thoughtful, right? It's just really thoughtful to do those things. And families do. They love it, and that's what it's about. That's how you get the hugs at the graveside.
It sure is, and that's what we're all striving for end of the day, is to get the satisfaction from the family, and it makes our job way more tolerable, and it makes our hard work all worthwhile when you get that from the family, and know that you're making a difference, and they feel that they can listen to you. It's very important.
100%, 100%.
Tell me a little bit about, I guess, the beginning of your career and how you worked your way up to get to the managerial and operations side of things. So I'm assuming that you were front-facing, meeting with a lot of families from the way you're talking. Tell me about your career, like for us, some of the young funeral directors listening that maybe want to go a similar route to you. How did you do that, and what did it take to get where you are?
So you're asking me to pull my pants up to here, stand in the front yard and complain about the government because you're saying I'm an old guy? I mean, you're looking at
No, not at
you're looking at
all.
the gray? Come on, come
Yeah,
on.
you've had an amazing career, and some people are going to strive for that. You got to spell it first.
So actually, it kind of really it was just about saying yes when the opportunity showed up to. Hey, will you help me dress this body? So I didn't go to mortuary school. So I got my license through internship. So working side by side with the funeral directors. And so when the first opportunity came up to dress a body and to go do a house call and to watch an embalming and things like that, I just said yes, and because I was just curious and I wanted to learn and understand those things better. And I've always loved the teaching and training piece of things. So when there was other people that I could help learn a particular, even if I was funeral director to funeral director, love just taking the time and let me show you how to use this spreadsheet. Let me show you how to set up a reminder in Outlook. That was one of them. So sometimes it was simple things. And when I was looking to make a change. I'd reached out to a person and I just said, "Hey, are you looking for somebody to teach and train and be a trainer within your organization?" And they said, "Well, no, that's really not how we operate, but have you ever thought about being in charge of your own location?" No, hadn't. Went through the interview process with them. They hired me and it was a great experience to be the guy that made the decisions. Obviously, they were there to guide me and help me, but I was able to take a lot of those things that I learned from the trainings and things that I had been exposed to, and implement that into the funeral homes that I worked at. And the very first one, when I went to Ohio, we doubled, went from 39 calls to 80 calls in the first year. So.
That's amazing.
Which was, and it was really just getting out of the building, shaking hands, kissing babies, and putting your name back out there. And then we also practiced how to push in a casket, how to load it into the hearse, how we go in procession, all those things that just made a difference when we executed those services, that it was just polished and professional.
It seems like you're very big on the training side of things and being prepared in advance. Tell us a little bit about where that comes from, and what are some of the tactics that you use on the training side of things that make you stand apart from maybe different funeral homes, and how it all comes together from your side.
Well, I think I'm a lifelong learner, so I want to read different things. I want to listen to podcasts. I want to understand so that I can be the best, not just funeral director, but the best person that I can be as well.
Yes,
And
sir.
then using those skills that I've learned from outside our profession, within our profession, and taking those things and then implementing them. And sometimes you try them and you walk around like a baby horse falling over or whatever, before you become the, I can run. And really just and I think part of it is just building that, again, the trust with the other staff members that let's give it a try. And if you know what, if after 30 or 60 days it sucks, we'll change it back.
At least you
Right?
tried, right?
Yeah, you can always, and oftentimes it's we find things that we can just evolve and they got to make it their own. They can't use the exact words that I use. things like that. So I think I had great training at funeral homes where I worked, and I was just able to pass that on, and I just have a love for passing on that information.
Yeah,
I
I think
think there's a whole series of articles in my brain that are, you know, what they did not teach you in mortuary school, which I didn't go, so I don't know what they didn't teach me. But you know, there's things where a lot of these students will come out of mortuary school and just don't know certain things.
there's no doubt it's a very hands-on job that you need to learn from. Maybe you learn the bare bones or the back end of things and terminology a little bit, but the job itself, you have to be there in person to really understand what you're doing. It's not like other professions where you can just learn things from going to school, as much as it does help you. But at the same time, the hands-on experience, learning from people that have done it before, been where that you've been before, that's everything. And then planning it out and being meticulous with it, like you were saying, Phil, this is how we push in the body. This is how we go into the casket and have it all synced up. It just makes you look so crisp and clean in front of the families when it's showtime. So you have to do that preparation work. It's very important.
Absolutely. The difference is in the details when it all comes down to it. You know, our staff knows that, you know, the vehicle's not cleaned until the tires are shined.
Yeah.
And, you know, thankfully now they're all very grateful that we have a car wash that actually shines the tires for us. But, you know, we were going through gallons of tire shine. Like, oh my gosh, yes, it looks fine, but my God, do we still have to shine the damn tires?
Yeah.
But it does. It's things like that that make a difference. You know, I have a rule of if the toilet paper roll is half or less, you swap it out. The half goes down to the employee bathrooms, and a full roll goes on the public bathrooms. Goofy, quirky things, but that's what I do.
I can see you being one of those people that it needs to be flipping over too, the toilet paper. It can't be under. I'm with you too. That is one thing that I'm like, don't dare flip that roll under.
It's if they want to put it under, I've got trust issues with that person. Just saying. Just saying.
Totally, absolutely. And I think it sets the standard then too. It's that we all live up to this high level. And then our families deserve that, and they deserve that respect, and they deserve the high standard that we set. And that's the reason that they come to us, because I think once you establish that and talk with your employees, and so that they're aware, this is the reason we do these things, is because we want to separate ourselves and distinguish ourselves as a firm that does things the right way. And we do things the best way in our own eyes. And I feel like the staff can get behind that. And on top of it, people notice those little stuff that we're talking about, and they can feel it and sense it when a place is very buttoned up and organized, and they know their processes, and they perform it to the best of their ability. You can feel that and sense it. It's very deep thing, and it's a little bit unspoken too, but it's something you can feel and see.
Absolutely. And when you get in sync with your, you know, we have a lot of part-time employees that help us on
Yeah.
services and things like that. And when you get in sync and everybody's on the same page, it's amazing how seamless it all seems, but it's because
Right.
we've been practicing, and we talk about those things and make sure that, you know, when we go down there and we're going to turn the casket, we're going this way, not that way. We're going that way, not this way, whatever.
Yeah,
So that
absolutely.
there's no surprises.
Yeah, and that goes to the communication side of things, being open with everyone and everyone just being on that same page and talking through things. That's very important at the same time too.
100%, no doubt. And you know, and the other thing is, you know, I don't want to make it sound like, you know, I run a like a military type, you know, like rah, rah, you know, everybody do your calisthenics. We're going to do planks, although we are doing planks these last few weeks because one of our directors is in this plank challenge. So we do planks, but that's a whole different thing.
Interesting. Okay.
But we do have
That's
fun. We do
Happy
have
New
fun as well.
Year.
I mean,
Yeah.
I wrote a joke book as well. I mean, that's the kind of fun
Okay.
we have.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can maybe see it behind me there.
You'll have
But
to let that.
See, there it is. The best jokes
There
that
it
I've
is.
done.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah, it's the best middle school jokes I told at Rotary. That's the kind of jokes. So they're dad jokes, middle school jokes, whatever. So we do have fun, right? Because we have to, you know, behind the scenes, we can joke and laugh, and we can even laugh with the families, because even though it's the hardest day of their life, they also have really funny stories to tell. Because
What about it?
the goal is to get them past the extended illness or the sudden death or the horrific last few days where they haven't slept, and learn about the entire person, right? This is when your neighbors, your friends, your family, your volunteer people, and your work people all come together in one place. And there's things that you know your family knows about you, Michael, that your volunteer people don't. And there's things your volunteer people see in you that maybe your family doesn't know about. And so being able to show that, give that whole holistic view of who that person is, that's, if it wasn't that, I would not want to be in funeral service.
And that opens up a whole different experience for a family, like learning about their loved one from all the people coming together and helping encourage people to share their memories and share their love for the person that you're there serving and helping. That's going to be transformational for a family, and it seems like you help them get to that next stage in the grief journey where they can accept it and start processing things in a little bit of a different way, and helping them to not move on, but to progress in the way they're going through things.
Yeah, that is what we endeavor to do. Yep,
Yeah,
for sure.
that's great. What are some of the things that this is a little bit of a switch gears because
Sure.
I have a good answer for it. What are some of the things that you do if you ever have some downtime? What are some of the things that you and your staff are doing together, whether it's around the funeral home or to increase camaraderie, things like that, or maybe it's shining the tires on the hearse. I don't know. What are some of those things that you do if you ever have a downtime?
You know, we have a pretty diverse group as far as things that that people are involved in. So one of our part-timers, she's involved in a lot of theater things.
Nice.
So a lot of times we'll go to her show. We have one of our directors was actually in one of the
Cool.
shows and did some singing and stuff in that show, which
Sweet.
was great. So we bunch of us went to support those things. And so we do those things, and then, you know, around the funeral home, there's always stuff to do, right? There's always those closets that have to be cleaned out and things like that. But we like to eat as well,
Of
and
course.
so we I call them the family dinners. So we'll do the, you know, hey, we're going to do a potluck, we're going to do whatever, and we just sit around, and just like, you know, when you were a kid, you'd sit at dinner time and you'd eat and you talk about what things are going on, and that's just building relationships with one another. So having food is always a great way to do that. So oftentimes that's a lunch that we do here at the funeral home, and then probably once a quarter we'll go do a happy hour, and I'll ask people to bring their significant other or spouse
Nice.
if they want to that, and we'll have some appetizers and a couple of drinks and hang out for an hour and a half or so, and then kick everybody out. So
That's
we're kind of,
wonderful.
again, it's getting to know the individual, but also their family, and how we can be supportive to each other.
It makes it it helps on the business relationship to have that sense of personal relationship too, and that way when you separate things, when you're at work, you're in work mode almost always unless you have some downtime. But when you're able to set apart some time and do these things away from work, that creates a different level of friendship and connection with the people that you're with every day. And then you're more likely to cover for someone like it seems like you all do at your firm and to help each other for the betterment of everyone as a whole. So I think it's so important to do that little stuff. And it's hard as funeral homes because we're pretty busy. Like we're always running around doing things and it's always on to the next thing because everything's an emergency and everything needs to be done today, right now. It needs to be done yesterday. But when we could take some time to say, we're going to separate ourselves from what we're doing in the work environment and try to enjoy each other's company. That's hugely important, I think, because it just helps with that camaraderie with each other.
It does. And it also, the other thing that it helps me do is as we do kind of our grassroots marketing of getting out and meeting with hospices, nursing homes, ministers, you know, different community organizations, finding out whose strengths are where. One of our directors, she loves to do the school career day things and
Oh,
just
cool.
warping the minds of future generations. I mean, it's beautiful. I love doing them as well, but she loves doing it, so I usually pitch those to her and say, go
Sure.
do it. And so she gets out of arrangements or services or whatever because I got career day.
Yeah.
And has gotten, you know, on those email lists and always very popular because we give out keychains that have, you know, the hearse that are in the shape of a hearse with our phone
That's
number on
cool.
it. And the, you know, middle school, high school students love that. So things like that of where leveraging those strengths of what a person has, because, you know, some of the staff, if you try to go send them into a social environment, they're like, nope, I'd rather sit here in the corner and be by myself because I don't know anybody. And
Yeah.
that's not the person to go send out to market to your to the community. So
Right.
you stay back, answer the phones. I'm going to go do that. Done. Right. So.
You're talking about your covering people there. That's an overall. I'm actually have been more of a prepper person in my life, but I'm the same way. I'd much rather be out in the community and doing things. What are some of those things that you're trying to do in your community that brings some of that attention to your funeral home, I guess, or some of those things that you can be involved with that's helping your funeral get the same out there.
You know, we have our entire staff just about is involved in something, right? And that's close to their heart and things that they enjoy.
That's
And
huge.
so just let them go do that and let people know that they work at the funeral home because there's not just one type or group of people, right? Everybody's going to go through that at some point. The death rate is 100%. And anytime somebody has a question about funeral home, cemetery, cremation, natural organic reduction, whatever it might be, we want to be the experts, and I want to be the expert. And so they may not choose us, but I want them to think about us first,
Top of mind.
and doing that. So I just look for those opportunities where, you know, if I could figure out a way where I could golf 3 days a week and call it marketing,
Come on.
man, I'd move to a warmer climate.
Sign me up for that too. I actually like to, I'm in this basketball league, and it's one of those things we don't really talk about work or anything like that, but they know what I do. And if any of the guys that play like have a loss, they know that I'm always there for them. And I like to be involved with a bunch of different things, men's clubs and whatever things in the community, and just stuff that you enjoy doing and just showcase your personality and showcase who you are as an individual, and people will resonate with that. And it's for no other reason than the enjoyment of it, and to have your availability open as it's ever needed. It doesn't need to go any deeper than that, in my opinion.
I do some MC work, and so I volunteer that out to a lot of organizations and groups and things.
Cool.
It's just a I have a gift and ability to do that, so why not help make that event better, more fun? And if it's not fun, I don't want to do it. So, you know, why not? And then, you know, oh, you're the funeral guy and you're acting like that. Yeah, that's just who I am. And you know, so it showcases that you don't have to be Lurch to be a funeral director, that you can actually have a personality and you can create a service that also has personality. And so there's that nice bridge with that. You know, when I was the MC for the Miss Ohio pageant, which feeds into Miss America for a few years.
Cool. Whoa, random.
I don't know. Yeah, I guess it was kind of random. But, you know, so I would get to want to kind of warming up the crowd a little bit before the show start, you know, and get to make some funeral jokes and different things like
Sure.
that. And play with people in that way. And why not? I take what I do very seriously. I just don't take myself all that serious.
You can't take yourself too seriously, especially in this line of work. You have to have a sense of humor about it. And I think people appreciate it more so when you're your true self and you showcase that. I like to show my goofy side, my dorky side. I don't care. It doesn't bother me. I am who I am. And you like to showcase it. Hold on. I got to ask a question about
Sure.
the this Ohio. What was like the best act? Don't they do like some sort of performance or something, or a special skill? Am I thinking correctly? What was the best one? What was the
It's called a talent. It's not a
best?
special.
Oh, talent. This shows you how many times I've watched Miss America in my life.
My special skill,
Special
actually,
skill.
the special skill would have to be walking in those high heels the way that they do and make it look
No
fluffy.
kidding. No
I think
kidding.
what's actually most amazing about them, about those pageants, is these young women are so intelligent and have their stuff together. I mean, they are just
You
like,
have to.
I mean, they're leaders in what they're doing and stuff. I mean, just amazing what they do. Gosh, best talent. I think Mackenzie Bart, she actually went on to Miss America. She came in second place and she did ventriloquism,
No kidding.
which did like the supercalifragilisticexpialidocious little song back and forth, and she was amazing. She's a meteorologist, is what she does. Yeah, and she went to the Ohio State University.
I know that Iowa is somewhat of a sore spot for Ohio State.
And we all
Just
know what
not.
Iowa stands for.
What's that?
Idiots out walking around.
I try to bury that when people drop that one for me. I love it.
But I'm a Mizzou Tiger, which oftentimes have been mistaken for kittens. So there's also that.
That's for sure.
We did win the Rose Bowl this year, so we got that.
That was a big
I'm
year.
sorry, it was the Cotton Bowl. Cotton Bowl.
Gotcha. Big year for the Tigers. But Phil, thanks so much for joining us today. Really cool, insightful stuff about, helping. I think the biggest for me was helping your employees take their game up to the next level and making it a little bit fun and special for them and special for your family's way into it. That's something that we can all stand to benefit from, whether you're part of the staff or part of the managerial side of things. I think we can all incorporate a bit of that and be the leader of our teams to show, hey, we do more than just meet with families and embalm bodies. We can bring a different element to increase what we do every day and increase the connection with the people we work with and all of our families that we do too. So we appreciate you giving us all that and some stuff that we can definitely implement in our day-to-day as funeral directors.
Good deal. All right. Well, if any of the listeners are going to be at ICCFA University, I'm going to be teaching three classes there this year. So
What are you
hopefully see
teaching?
you there. I'm doing one for Events 101, doing a grassroots marketing, and I'm doing one on grief. So
Oh, and a nice little balance of all your skills there.
almost all of them. Almost.
Almost. Almost. We gotta get you on the pageantry MC, and then we'll have the full circle for you.
There it is. That's exactly it. That's
I love
exactly
it.
it.
Well, Phil, thanks again. We appreciate you, and that's the mortuary show.
Thanks.